Yeah, get all that phlegm out.
So much phlegm. Oh boy! We're up to two, James. Two
and three.
Yeah.
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. You have the extremely good fortune of listening to Robcast and I, James Radio, as we rejoice about the coaching genius of one Brian Flores and the truly masterful play calling by Five Chan Gailey from Sunday's blowout by the Bay. Has this team actually turned a corner, Rob?
As the optimist, I have to say yes. I mean, you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves beating a beaten up team that's racked with injuries that has only beaten the two worst teams in the league. But that was what we wanted to see, right? Between everything, the defense, we throwing the ball deep. Like, I'm almost disappointed that in our two wins, we win by so much that the third and fourth quarter become boring just running the clock out. And I'm like, just keep going. I haven't seen this in so long. Put up 60. Go, man.
I think I'm going to continue to pick against them because they seem to do much, much better when I pick against them. So if this was any harbinger, although it's going to be hard to pick against them this week, but we'll get into that. But so, man, I was just in utter shock and disbelief. Like, and as many of you know, or you know, all five of our listeners know, I do live out in the San Francisco Bay Area now. So I was actually watching it in San Francisco at the there's a bar in San Francisco where the Dolphins fans, where a large group of Dolphins fans gets together every Sunday. So it was. It was pretty interesting. It was a pretty interesting scene. Lots of 49ers fans in disbelief. Lots of Dolphins fans not really knowing what we were seeing was real. I think we were joking that we were expecting Chris Angel to come out, or not Chris Angel, David Blaine to come out like halfway through and be like, "Is this your card?" And it's really the Dolphins are losing by three touchdowns.
Aren't they the same guy?
But yeah, it was. Really excellent. Play calling from start to finish, and we'll get into the recap. But anything else you want to touch on before we get into this this breakdown of the dismantling of the 49ers from Sunday, Rob?
I just enjoyed it. I think you might have to pick against them because I'm pretty sure the Dolphins are listening to our podcast. Not only did you give them the bulletin board material that was required, but one of our biggest complaints against Seattle was they didn't throw deep against a bad secondary, and oh my Lord, did they throw deep. They just came out of the gate chucking bombs, and you know, you got Parker and Williams, they could beat one-on-one, as we saw. It was fantastic,
and the defense looked phenomenal as well. Going in on last week's show, I very clearly called out this 49ers team was getting healthy, and they're the kind of team that matched up, I thought, really well with our team, and I thought they were going to give us a hard time, and I am so happy that I was wrong. Like, I can't express. I mean, Mostert looked really good, but I mean, it was a boat race by the second half. Like, they didn't even, there was no need for him to run. They couldn't stop us on defense, and that's, you know, I would like to take credit for Flores listening to this podcast and making Five Chan start to take shots down the field. But
They're no dummies. They watch the same. They watch the same Seattle game we watch. They know what to do.
I hope so. But yeah, let's dive right into it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. First play of the game, they took a shot right downfield to Preston Williams. Beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Ends up leading to Devontae Parker on that opening drive. Did have a bad drop, but no matter. They ended up getting down and getting a touchdown to Adam Shaheen, new tight end for this season, and it was 7-0, and then the defense forced a punt immediately thereafter, and we went right back down, scored a touchdown. It was 14-0, and then the 49ers did mount one good drive to make it 14-7. But
well, no, they turned it over on downs before that, didn't they?
Was that is did we force a punt or was it Downs that we got the ball back to go up 14-0?
So the 14-0 was Downs. So they punted, they gave it up on Downs, and then they punted again.
Yeah, either way, we had a stop on fourth and short. I think that was leading up to 21-7 after that stop.
No. It was 7-0 when they went for it on fourth and short, and we got the ball back.
Oh,
and went
okay.
Up 14.
So that led to 14-0. Yeah. Correct. Okay. Yeah, I was like I said, I was not really sure what was real and what was not real watching that game. So it took a while for it all to sink in. I just have grown so accustomed to watching the 49ers do that to people, and not seeing that. I don't remember the last time the Dolphins had a victory like that. The Jaguars game was a blowout, but was a little bit closer than that. I mean, like just like putting up 40 and, you know, having the game just be over by the midway through the third quarter. I don't recall the last time a Dolphins team did that. Do you, Rob?
No. There was I'm sure everybody saw it now. They had the stat on the broadcast that this was like our first double digit win in an incredibly long amount of time.
Well, the Jaguars game was the first one.
Oh, right, right.
And then, yeah, and then this one, I believe there was a Broncos game, I think, and it was either Gase's first or there was the Steelers game where they just hammered the Steelers. Remember that? That was like they kind of turned that season around.
Right.
That was the last time I remember watching them play and just being like completely shocked by how competent they looked, which, you know, the defense was amazing. The pass rush looked good. They didn't miss Shaq Lawson at all from what I could tell. Ogba looked like he was benefiting from, you know, getting more snaps, I guess, in coming from Lawson's position. And Van Ginkle had a great play as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the secondary was great. Getting Byron Jones back makes a big difference.
Huge.
Yeah. And, you know, Garoppolo clearly wasn't, you know, 100%, but, you know, that's this is the NFL. And
his two picks were awful. I mean, they weren't even.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah. Those weren't even good picks. They were thrown right to center field. It was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling like Howard would get one. That's why I picked him in fantasy camp. But yeah, I figured it would be on a longer throw to the outside, which is exactly where it was. Just having watched him play, I know that he almost had
another one on a great cutting in front of the guy that would have looked just like the one he had in Seattle. So he almost had two.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's rounding out back into shape, and the team looks good. I think, you know, we talked about it like in the first quarter of the season was going to be kind of the preseason for this team. And I do feel really good about, you know, I mean, how could you not, but I like what we're seeing and the schedule, we actually caught a break by the schedule changing. We'll talk more about that, you know, on later podcasts as we go through like more of our, statistical forecasting when we get through the quadrants, but that third quadrant is much, much easier than it was, the last time we spoke, Rob. And now we get the Jets. With a really good chance to go to 500 for this Dolphin team, which I was not very optimistic about last week if you listened to the podcast. So,
no, you're a doubter. You're a naysayer. One, I do want to say, since I'm normally the optimistic one, I do want to throw a little cold water on the defense. Not, I mean, they've been playing great, so I don't want to take anything away from them, but I feel like this defense is made to play with a lead when they're not great at stopping the run. And when you don't know if it's a run or a pass, when it's still a close game or you're behind and teams and a good offense can kind of run a play action and we're not good enough to we're not elite there yet. But when we have a lead and we know they're going to pass, this defense, you know, that's when they can, like, you know, let the dogs loose and do some damage.
Yeah. So, I mean, just looking at the last three games under the microscope, right? They were very, very good in Jacksonville. And to your point, they were playing with the lead. I thought they played pretty well against Seattle. That's one of the better offenses in the NFL. And they, you know, they weren't embarrassed, except at that drive right before the end of the half. You know, I thought they actually held their own and they were, you know, they were losing for that entire game. And then dominant again out here in San Francisco, granted a beat up team, but still, you know, that was getting healthy and still has some real weapons. Very good offensive line that the 49ers have. Their offensive line is healthy and they have some of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. And we dominated them. We dominated on offense and we dominated on defense up front, which is just beautiful to see.
I'm just saying, we're still not great at stopping the run. So, correct. You know, so that's what I mean. This defense is made to play with a lead but it's still not, you know, in the close games where they're running and then you're selling out to stop the run. That's when the pass defense has been suspect, you know, when you get caught by the play action.
If they're going to beat, the Patriots the next time they play them, they're going to have to stop the run.
Yes, but this is still, it's all a work in progress, and to see this kind of success at this stage of the season is awesome. I'm very excited, very happy to see the way the team's
and one
playing.
Other thing to touch on too, and this happened immediately after our podcast last week. I sent a tweet out for our 38 followers, was that Austin Jackson went on the IR. Which kind of changed my take on Tua starting, as well as the results from Sunday. Like I think we're back to what I kind of said at the beginning of the season, where I don't think we see Tua until very, very late in the season now, because especially given the way the schedule is shaping up, and barring, you know, any other injuries, I don't see Tua getting in there any sooner. But back to the original thought, was Austin Jackson, who had been playing very, very well at left tackle, our rookie first round draft pick. They shifted Jesse Davis over to the left-hand side, and we put our other rookie, Robert Hunt, at the right tackle spot. And the offensive line was phenomenal. And that's a good 49er defense, even though they are beat up. They still had no problem getting to the quarterback, and I didn't see any real pass rush on Sunday on Fitzpatrick. He had all kinds of time.
No, the offensive line was great. And then
kudos to them and you know, deep, you know, if we're, you know, we're losing our starting left tackle and having to shift everybody around. That's a very good sign. Austin Jackson should come back this season. They're saying it's not season ending. He's going to be on the shelf for, I would say at least another month.
Yeah, good to have a little depth there, because we want him playing the left tackle for a long time.
And that leads us into this week. So with all the COVID craziness, our schedule did change. We were supposed to be playing the
Broncos.
Was it Chargers, correct?
Broncos.
Oh, that's right. The Denver Broncos. We were supposed to be playing at Denver. That is now the New York Jets, our favorite our favorite team right now. So
the Le'Veon Bell less Adam Gase's are coming to town.
Yes, and a very, very winnable game for us. So before we get into previewing the Jets game, I did want to talk about another little bit of Jet news that's probably blowing up your news feeds and your sports streams. Le'Veon Bell being released by the Jets, and the Dolphins are on the short list of teams that could sign him. I'm all for it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying he's going to come in here and be a superstar, but he was, you know, he's not very far removed from being one of the best backs in the NFL. He's still under 30. He doesn't have a ton of tread on the tires. If you can get him at a reasonable price on this offense with, you know, the needs that we have at the running back position.
I don't want to interrupt your rant, but Le'Veon Bell has chosen the Chiefs. This is breaking news, not breaking for the people listening, because we're recording this at, you know, 7 o'clock Eastern on Thursday. And about 15 minutes ago, Le'Veon Bell chose the Chiefs.
Well, that makes more sense for him. I was wondering when I saw the two teams that were on there, clearly the Chiefs are much closer to winning a Super Bowl this season. That made more sense for him to do. So,
and there goes my Clyde Edwards-Helaire picks for my terrible fantasy teams.
He was looking pretty good at that first up. That's kind of disappointing. That can lead us into another.
I'm fine with not getting him. Like I would have if the if the team felt like he was a good fit and wasn't going to be a problem in the locker room, and that, and I, you know, the guy has the talent, has shown the talent. So I'm trusting the process. If the team wanted to bring him in, I would be excited to have him. But not getting him is not like I'm not going to cry. That's not like missing out on Tua or something, which would have been much sadder.
Right. Agreed. Well, okay. So that leads us into next week. So the Le'Veon Bell-less Jets are coming to town. Is Flacco starting?
He is.
Okay. All right. Joe Flacco-led Jets.
As someone who has to play the Jets, who would you rather have? I guess, I mean, Flacco has no upside, right? Like, Darnold is, has,
I'd
not
rather
been
see
good.
Darnold, because he's clearly shaken right now. It would be, and there's way more likelihood of getting pick sixes off him than there is of Flacco.
But Flacco's not going to throw the ball deep. I mean, he can't. It's just going to be Crowder underneath, and that's it.
I'm really not worried about either one of them. I just, the comedy aspect of it would be higher were it Sam Darnold.
I agree.
That's unfortunate too. Look at us. Look at us here. we're like new money. We're all, our team wins one game and we're all like poo-pooing another poorly run franchise. I mean, it is the Jets, so it is kind of fun. But I don't think it makes much of a difference. I think Flacco probably gives them a better chance of winning because Darnold's been so awful. But yeah, I don't think in the long run, we should win this game. We should win it handily. If we don't, I'm going to start the naysaying is going to pick up again real quick.
Just to level set, we're a young team. This is the first time we're coming into a game as heavy favorites. You know, I don't see this as a team that's looking past anything, but you know, it's the NFL and anything can happen. I expect to win. I expect to cover the 10-point spread. I mean, 10-point spread, that's a heck of a line. But the Jets are terrible, and we should beat them. And yeah, I'll be so mad if we lose.
Yeah, they were, just to recap their week last week, they were close with Arizona for a while, and then they ended up getting blown out in the second half, finished up 30-10. You know, Flacco looked very inept, not surprisingly, has eerie similarities to the his last season here with Tannehill and Osweiler as the quarterback combination. So I don't think they're going to be able to do much from an offensive standpoint, and their defense is not good. I feel bad picking them because they haven't done as well when I picked them, but the Dolphins should put up 31 points, and I don't see the Jets scoring more than 17 in this game.
Is that your final? Are you going there
31-17.
Already? 31-17. Yep. 38-13.
Oh, even bigger. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not joking around.
Be more Robtimistic. I see how it works. Yeah, I don't know. So the Jets are going to be, I mean, we'll see some Frank Gore. Their offensive line is okay. They have Jamison Crowder. I don't even know who else they have at wide receiver or tight end. Chris Herndon, I think, is their tight end.
Yeah, they got this. Berrios is a guy who's got some speed.
Another slot guy. Yeah, former Hurricane.
And I don't know how, I mean, because I don't care about the Jets, but they had that one of the good rookie wide receivers who's been hurt, Denzel Mims. So we won't be seeing him this time. I have no idea how long he's out for, but obviously, you know, he was expected to contribute.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very disappointing podcast next week if they don't win this game. And you know, I obviously, we both think they're going to win it handily. I just that Jets team is awful, and I've watched a decent amount, not a decent amount, but I've seen them play a little bit this year. They're every bit as bad as their record indicates, and every bit as bad as the highlights you're seeing.
So before we jump to the break, we didn't talk about that Howard was a healthy scratch. I mean, obviously he was only getting goal line work. But
yeah, I was going to kind of work that into the Lev Bell discussion that got derailed.
Gotcha.
news.
Did you have anything, any insight? I mean, it's not surprising, but the number of carries they were giving him.
Yeah, he's obsolete. Like, I mean, I kind of got that feeling watching the in the first few weeks of the season, just watching him, like, and seeing, you know, and it's not because our offensive line is bad either. He just looks slow.
Right.
You know, this, he doesn't fit the pace that they want to do. Even in short yardage situations, he just seems very lumbering and not breaking a lot of tackles like he seemed to used to be able to do. That was kind of what we were sold on, that he was able to break tackles and get yards after contact. And I didn't see any of that out of him. And with the way Gaskin and Breida are playing and them all being healthy, I don't see any need for him. Gaskin got a short yardage carry and scored a touchdown easily.
Yeah.
On Sunday. I don't see any need for him moving forward. It's a waste of money, but I understand the risk. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's what led me to it, is because the Jets, I mean, obviously I imagine a heavy dose of running, probably because of our big lead, but even so, you could run on the Jets. So they're going to be running anyway.
Man, I really hope it's Kalen Ballage that the Jets use against us.
Kalen Ballage is a practice squad player for the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he's not on the Jets.
Oh, I was really looking for... Well, we do play them this year, too, but he's probably not going to get in. That team's actually pretty good. We'll talk about them after we come back from the break. So stay tuned. And we're back. So let's recap Pick'em from last week. It looks like I won the week again, Rob, and fantasy camp, I eked out another win. So Rob, you are 0-6 in both Pick'em and fantasy camp this year.
So Pick'em, to me, it's a cumulative thing. So it's been close. Like, we actually tied week one. You didn't win.
That's right. There was a push.
And then you went 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. But this was a 3-0. So I needed to make up some ground, and I am now down 10 picks to 4 picks. So you're crushing me, and you don't know anything about any other team in the league. So it's very annoying.
Yes. Unfortunately, one of the teams I was right about last week was the Houston Texans. We all wanted them to lose. They were able to beat the Jaguars pretty handily, and covered. Looks like Deshaun Watson was finally introduced to Brandon Cooks, which is bad news for us. Finally realized he was on the team. Brandon Cooks had 8 catches for 136 and a touch.
And Fuller had a decent game too.
Who's that?
Fuller had a decent game too. Like, Watson was just spreading it. He was throwing it.
Watson's good. We all know that. So yeah, we knew they weren't going to go winless. They should beat the Jags. We'll talk about their opponents for this week as well. But right now, that draft pick that we own of theirs is still top 10, but you know, it's not as high as we would have liked. I'm assuming it's probably going to be around the number 10 range for the year. They're going into Tennessee this week, and they're getting 3.5. The Titans are all better from their COVID vacation, and they hammered the Bills on Tuesday night with Ryan Tannehill leading the charge. I think this Titan team handles the Houston Texans pretty easily on Sunday. How about you, Rob?
I believe that would normally be the case, and I still think it could be the case, but we have to remember Titans, we've never seen a team coming off this short of a week. It's the same distance between a Sunday and Thursday game, but that's usually both teams on that really short week. But now that you have the Texans on a normal week and the Titans coming off playing a Tuesday night, you know, we talk about the short week from a Monday night. So I don't know. I think that might have played into this line, because this line is crazy low, especially with what the Titans just did to the Bills. So
yeah, but the Titans did get to, you know, they got half of that game off. So so maybe they only played half a game on Tuesday. I still think they win in cover. Are you going to take the Texans here?
I'm not, but I feel like, don't you feel like on a neutral field, this is at least a 7-point game, like a 7-point?
I would think so. The short week bears mentioning for sure.
And I believe, but I think the line meant, like, the line warrants it. So I don't feel as bad giving the 3.5, but it's also the NFL, you know, and tired, but they also were off for 2 weeks. So who the heck knows?
Right. So no Thursday night game, thanks to all the COVID craziness.
Thanks, COVID.
The first game I have on the list is Atlanta Falcons getting 4.5 at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings looked very tough in Seattle. Atlanta just finally fired Dan Quinn. I like the Vikings here. I like them to cover.
Yeah, I've been kind of feel like the Falcons are better than they've shown just because their offense can move the ball. But I think Julio's, he's still hurt. He's still like limited. I don't even know if he's playing this week. And the Vikings
are starting to figure it out, and the Falcons look like they're dead in the water.
Yeah, after the first week or two when they moved that rookie into the slot, they've been kind of crazy good. Dalvin Cook's going to miss the game, but Madison, you know, is a decent enough backup that I don't think that's going to hurt them too much. Yeah, I agree.
Baltimore Ravens, 7.5 point favorites at the Philadelphia Eagles, who are not very good. Although they did play they played Pittsburgh tougher than I would have thought they would have. But I like the Ravens in this game.
Do you know why that was? Because Pittsburgh's run defense is amazing and their pass defense is garbage. I know you like to, you know, you like to get mad because we traded the best defensive player in the world away, but Minka's not been doing very much this year. Neither has Kenyon Drake, another person you're very mad we got rid of. Drake's been terrible this year.
Minka doesn't play cornerback. He's a safety, which our safeties are not very good. And I'm not mad that they traded him because he wanted to leave.
You've been on long rants about it. And I just wanted to remind you that those guys are not shining right now the way they did when it first happened. So that it doesn't look as bad, the moves.
Fair enough. Okay. Next game, Chicago Bears, the worst. Well,
did we pick it? I mean, we're both Ravens, right?
We both said Ravens, okay. Yes. Chicago Bears, the worst 4-1 NFL football team I have ever seen.
I agree, but at what point do we say they're not bad?
I'm going to continue saying it all year.
They go
into Carolina, who's overachieving as well. Carolina's also overachieving. Teddy Bridgewater looks good. They're giving 1.5 at home. I like the Panthers here. Are you gonna take the Bears?
I am. I think they're terrible, but they seem to think they're not. And Nick Foles does Nick Foles things.
Yep. So, sounds good. All right. So this is our first one. So I got Carolina. You got Chicago.
And that's -1.5 for you, right?
Yep. Cincinnati Bengals. Just got hammered in Baltimore, and not in the fun getting drunk way, in the getting crushed by the Baltimore Ravens way. They're getting 8 going into Indianapolis, who's also coming off a loss against the Browns. The Browns team is pretty frisky. I think this line is pretty high. I'm going to go with the Bengals to cover, even though they've been not very good.
I'm abstaining. The Colts, like Phillip Rivers kills me when this Colts team should be better. When I pick them, they can't cover.
You're not going to touch that game. But I like Cincinnati to cover here, even though they've been pretty bad.
I mean, that's literally, they call him Joey Covers, because up until last week, Burrows was, even when they're playing poorly, was great at the backdoor cover.
Yeah, this is a good segue into you. I mean, we haven't gotten to the Chargers game yet, but the rookie quarterbacks, I mean, we haven't seen Tua. Herbert looks better than Burrow to me. I mean, I'm just going to say it. I mean, I know it's only a handful of games, but
But that team is so much better. I mean, I get it, and I agree, like, the way he looks, but he's playing with a much better team. That team was in the playoffs last year.
No, not last year. 2 years ago.
That's right. They flirted. Yeah, you're right. They would
He's got a better defense and an offensive line that's better than the Bengals' offensive line. But his weapons at wide receiver are, you know, the Bengals have good wide receivers.
Yeah, but Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are very good. The AJ Green is washed. They've got Tyler Boyd and a rookie. It's not, I mean, they're not, he doesn't have bad, but I take Keenan
Allen. And Mixon's
Allen.
A better running back than what Herbert has.
Up now with Eckler, that's
I think Mixon's better than Eckler as
yes,
well.
Yes, but Eckler's not a bad running back. And you know what I mean? That's not like, I'm just saying that
what I'm saying is Herbert looks better than Burrow, regardless of the teams. Like, I mean, I know that goes into it. Like, obviously, I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying, like, it's not like Burrow has, like, it's like those are guys you've heard of on offense that he's playing with. It's not like they're, you know, it's just an interesting observation I'm making. Like, and we don't know what two is going to look like yet. So are you feeling a little uneasy? I'm feeling a little uneasy.
Like that we didn't pick, we should have picked one of the him? No, not
that we missed, that we might have missed on the quarterback.
I wanted no part of A-Bear giving him the French pronunciation.
All right. Next game is Cleveland Browns +3.5 at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This should be a good game. The Browns are frisky. Give me the Browns.
Oh, God, I'm not going against the Browns. I'm not letting you do it. Look at this. You go Browns. You did two in a row with them. And you know what? I'd love to see the Steelers lose. So I'm not doing it.
The Steelers own them, too, typically. So this could be one where you get back. You sure you don't want the Steelers?
Don't want it.
All right.
What I want is the New England Patriots, and I'll give up those 9.5, and you could take them Denver Broncos and be
happy. I am not doing that. So Denver Broncos getting 9.5 at New England.
Drew Locke and Cam Newton both should be back for this game.
I was going to say, Cam's active, right?
Yep.
And is Gilmore active, or is he still on the COVID
list? I don't believe he is yet. So I'm not sure if he'll be able to play. I don't think it matters.
And Locke is supposed to play in this game?
I believe that's what I heard.
A lot of moving parts here. I like the Patriots. That Broncos team is not good.
Yeah. Now, I guess we would have been playing the Broncos this week, right? So Locke probably would have been back. At first I was mad. I'm like, you're gonna rob us with the chance to play the Broncos with like
and Jeff Driscoll
and Jeff Driscoll or Mark Rippon's like paperboy or whoever the other guy was. I'm like, that's cruel, and you're gonna let the Patriots play them in his place. But I thought that this was one of those things I was going to scream Patriots favoritism, but it turned out it didn't.
No, this actually helped. This works out in our favor. I'm okay with it. But we both like the Patriots. Next one is the Detroit Lions giving 3.5 on the road at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, I like the Lions here.
I do as well. I'm a believer in the Lions. I think Matt Stafford's underrated with Galladay, which he didn't have the first week or 2 weeks. Although I think this Jacksonville game is frisky. The team is frisky. Honestly, this is like the bad game I will have on in one of the boxes on the ticket, because they're both kind of fun to watch.
You love the Lions so much.
well, I like Stafford and Galladay a lot, and I'm invested in them for fantasy reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the Lions as well.
Washington football team +2.5 at the New York Giants. It's what a funny. Terrible game this is going to be. Give me Washington football team.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh.
No, give me Washington.
I mean, honestly, I would probably lay 2.5 with Washington. Right. Like, because their defense is kind of for real. The Giants. So
that's the Washington football team defense is the closest thing to a functioning NFL unit in this game.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And they've got, if they had a quarterback, I mean, they're really a quarterback away. They got with McLaurin and Antonio Gibson. They got like those guys are exciting, and the defense is insane. That defensive line, but the Giants are just they're the Giants.
Yeah. Give me the football team. All right. Next one is Green Bay Packers favored by a point at Tampa Bay. I like the Packers a lot in this game.
Yeah, this is the game I could see the Bucs going and win, but they're still too undisciplined. They still have too many problems. So here's a fun little fact. So you had mentioned that you live out in San Francisco area. I live in the Tampa Bay area in Bucs land here. So I don't dislike the Bucs. They're in the NFC, so it doesn't hurt me to see them do well, right? As long as we're not playing them. So I thought, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I thought I'd be rooting for them. With the Brady, I'm like, hey, let's see this happen. If Brady winning for somebody else, what do I care? As long as it's not beating us. I'd rather Brady be the reason the Patriots were good since he's gone. But no, when I watch him play and I can't root for him, I see his face and I root against him. It's ingrained. I can't, I enjoy when he loses. I wanted to root for him and I cannot.
Well, that's good. I mean, I agree with you. And having watched that Buccaneer team on Thursday night where they lost to that terrible Bears team somehow, I didn't really instill me with a lot of confidence. I know they have a lot of injuries on offense, but they still, you know, Brady not knowing it was fourth down is ridiculous.
That's like, so great.
Yeah, let's I just, and this Packers team is good. They're a very good football team. And I don't see this Buccaneer team overcoming that. They have the talent to. I just don't see it happening. Next game is the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. The line is only 3 in this.
That's given insane.
What we saw from the 49ers last week, I think it's very hard not to pick the Rams here.
No, there's no way. I mean, if the line was 6, you're still taking the Rams, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Until I see something different from the 49ers. So we're both in agreement there. We only have one game, don't we?
We do.
Because you're a coward and you won't pick the Steelers.
Well, there's still time. It's not like I'm so far behind I can do things like that.
Kansas City at Buffalo. Buffalo plus 4. Give me the Bills.
All right. So we got one. I'll take the Chiefs. I think if the Chiefs weren't coming off the loss and were like feeling good, I could say like the little extra whatever. But these are both teams that are going to come out and want to make a statement, and I think the Chiefs make bigger statements than the Bills.
Sounds good. I mean, I could see the Chiefs winning. I think the Bills at home with those points.
4 is.
Really, they haven't been super impressive. You know, they're coming off that loss. I know, like you said, they are going to want to make a statement, but it's going to be a hard game, I think, for them. So I think it should be close. Next game is Arizona Cardinals 1.5 at the now Andy Dalton-led Dallas Cowboys.
I feel bad. No, I mean, having lived through it, and I guess most fans, if you live long enough, live through a franchise player going down for the season and a horrific injury. Well, not horrific like that, but at least like even Achilles, like when Marino had the Achilles. So that just sucks. Yeah. It just sucks. I can't even joke.
No, I can't even joke or make fun of
Cowboys. Yeah.
He's an easy guy to root for. That was awful to see. I hope he comes back, stronger than ever. That was all. It was gruesome. You hate to see it. This Dallas defense is terrible. I think we've beat that dead horse quite a bit. I think the Cardinals win this game.
You know what? I'm going to take the Cowboys just because we need the third game and it's the last one.
You'd rather have the Cowboys than the Steelers, huh?
Well, you really want me to take the Steelers?
I just like the idea of you keep continuing to lose against the Browns.
Oh. All right, Steelers it is.
All right. So before we get into the break, I do want to talk just a little bit more about the rookie quarterback situation. I know it's way too early to make any judgment on it. Totally understand that. My take on what I've seen of Herbert, I watched most of that Monday night game. It's kind of unheard of too, like the quarterbacks he's playing against. Granted, you know, Brady's old and Breeze is old. It's not the Breeze and Brady of old, the word old came out a lot there, but you know, it's not the vintage Brady and Breeze, you know, that you expect to go up against. But he also went up against Mahomes. I mean, he went to toe to toe with all of those guys
and lost them all.
What's that?
And he lost them all.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. He's still winless. He looks really good. Like, and he's running a pro style offense. It's not like they're running some kind of gimmick, you know, spread for him. He looks much better than I thought. And he was a pretty highly rated prospect. You know, had he come out the year before, he would have most likely been the first quarterback taken.
I agree. He looks very good. The arm is for real. I mean, the guy can throw the ball through a building. And he's, you know, he's making good decisions. He's making plays with his feet when necessary. So I thought he'd be garbage. He's playing really well right now. I still am okay that we don't have him.
It's too early to make the call. I mean, we have to see Tua play. Going into the season, I was perfectly fine with how it played out. But now seeing these games being played, I'm I'm getting a little queasy. I am perfectly fine. I feel like he looks better than Burrow as well. So,
but
he might not be, you know, it might not just be Tua. Like, he could be the best quarterback in this draft.
I honestly have not watched a full game of either of them. I've watched pieces and highlights, but I'd have to sit and watch games before I make any kind of call like that.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. There, like I said, there's lots of football to be left. It's premature. I'm just saying it's a feeling I didn't even consider having that I do now.
That's fair.
All right. That'll bring us to our second break. When we come back, it's going to be our favorite segment, Fantasy Camp.
Please
stay tuned. And we're back. So this is our third and final segment of the week. And for those of you who don't normally make it this far, this is where Rob and I play a little game we like to call Fantasy Camp. Fantasy Camp. All right. So to just kind of rehash the rules here, the Fantasy Camp is basically a game that Rob and I like to play, where we pick fantasy football teams comprised solely of Miami Dolphins skill players. What used to be an exercise in futility has actually become quite a fun game. I won last year's total. This year I'm off to a now 6-0 start. 6-0.
With only 5 weeks. That's impressive.
No, it is 5-0. Dang. Still, 5-0. That is impressive. 5-0 is impressive.
It is impressive, but you still have a huge point total advantage. But this week, you beat me by one. By one.
I thought I lost. Like, watching the game, I thought I lost because I knew you had the two touchdowns. So I thought I had lost. So why don't you recap it, Rob? Break down the teams from last week.
So I had the first pick. I took Parker, who had the touchdown, but when I put in the stats, I was very surprised. He only had two catches. He had the two catches for 50 yards. I'm just not used to seeing Parker with only two catches.
They were both amazing. They were both great plays too. One of the catches was extremely difficult, and it came right after the terrible drop that he had. But I mean, by the second half, they were so far ahead, there was no need to pass anymore.
And so Parker was tied for the third highest scoring Dolphins. You came back with Preston Williams and Gesicki. Williams had the touchdown and the 106 yards on four catches, so he was the second highest scorer. And Gesicki with the 91 yards, he had that 75-yard run. It was a catch and run.
Yeah, you were complaining about his run after catch.
I was. Boy, did he make me pay, and if he fell like 15 yards shorter, I would have won. So he was also...
He should have gotten the end zone.
He tied Parker. So then I came back with Gaskins, the point total winner of the week with his 18.
Yeah, he was great.
Because he had the touchdown, 57 on the ground, 34 in the air with five catches. And then I took Isaiah Ford, who had two catches for 23 yards. And you came back with Grant and Breida. Grant gave you nothing because his one catch for 6 yards was nullified by running for backwards 19 yards on that terrible reverse. But Breida had the 28 on the ground and 31 in the air with a catch for five. And then on defense, I had a Landon Roberts who had the sack and a tackle, and you had Howard who had the interception and a tackle.
So we both got a point from our defenders.
Yes. Point and a quarter, really.
Yeah. So you picked first last week, right?
I did.
You're picking first this week. Like I said, I'm amazed that I won. I thought you had it for sure with the.
And I also, because we did it on Thursday, I had Howard as my I guess he was my flex, and he didn't even suit up, and I lost by 1 point. So,
yeah,
that hurts. Hurts. Hurts in my little heart.
So I pick first this week. I will be selecting Devontae Parker.
That is pretty standard. So I will take... I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm taking I'm taking Gaskins because I have him every week because you won't take him and I won't not take him. And then I'm going with Preston Williams.
Good. Yeah, I figured that's what you were going to do.
Well, usually I go with Gesicki and that's when he disappears. So,
yeah, I'll do Gesicki.
And
I'm going to go with Breida.
Yeah. All right.
So you can't lock me out.
Well, I'm going to just spell everybody's name wrong. All right. So now I go for two. So yep. I have to take. So I'm going to be screwed in the flex because there isn't like another good flex. So, I mean, I'm going to take. I guess I'll just have to take Ford and Grant. So I got somebody in my flex and now you have nobody for your flex.
That's true. I don't,
which means you could take your defender of choice since I'm out of,
don't know if Howard's going to play. Man, don't want to go Shaheen or Bowden. You know what? Give me Lynn Bowden in my flex.
All right. So I will go back.
Well, I get to pick my defensive player.
Oh, right, because you picked two. You're right.
Yep. So I'm going to go. Oh, man. Give me. Man. I feel like Howard's going to get another one.
If the defensive guys don't score a touchdown, they don't really factor in very much in this.
No, I know. Well, I know, but the I'll go with Howard.
All right. Not that I was going to take him, and I don't think it's an issue, but Van Noy did show up on the injury report today.
Oh, that's not good.
But I'll take Baker.
Ah, tackle machine.
If I don't win this one. I swear I'm going to let my cat make the picks.
Excellent. So there we have it. I'm at 5-0. I'm going to knock on a big piece of wood right here. I have not lost a fantasy game this year in any league, including fantasy camp.
Whoa. Just, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very proud of myself. I hope I can maintain it.
Your Stonecutters team is pretty nice. You destroyed me painfully.
Yeah, and everybody's had to deal with injuries, I mean, across the board, but I've maintained nicely. I think Devontae Freeman should hold up until Chubb comes back for me. And my wide receiver picks were also good that I was able to overcome the Cortland Sutton problem. So I'm pretty happy with that team. And then my work league team was an auction draft, so this is only the second year I've ever done it. And I'm surprised how well that I got Russell Wilson for very, very cheap. And I do enjoy
that the guy who normally shuts me up the minute I talk about fantasy because nobody cares, now that he's 15-0, decides that the whole third segment should be devoted to his fantasy teams.
We are into the nonsense segment, so I thought it was okay to talk about things that nobody's gonna want to listen to.
It's quite all right. I have fun busting your chops.
No, I deserve it. It is very hypocritical. So the Rays are still down. Damn it.
By the time people listen to this, they will know that they had that the Rays had already knocked off the Astros and are awaiting the winner of the Braves and Dodgers.
Right now, yeah. Right now, James Radio is very, very nervous about his Rays. Was hoping they would have closed them out. Don't like that they're losing in this game right now. But hopefully they can pull it off. Either way, I'm very, very, very proud of this Rays team. I will say I was driving today listening to the local sports talk radio out here, and they were talking about baseball. And the one of the commentators who I normally like is kind of an old school guy, and he did not have very nice things to say about the Rays. He said they reek of an expansion team, and they play in a circus town. he's not a fan of how they're doing things. And I was surprised to hear that because I don't understand how anybody could not be a fan of the way the Rays kind of do things. I'm not a fan of the owner. I'm not crazy about Sternberg. I don't like any of the things that he's done or any of the things that he stands for. But as far as like the GM and how the team's built and the manager and the players, I love that team.
Well-run organization. I agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully we'll have that'll be over, and we'll be talking about wrapping up the World Series the next time we're done. So let me ask you, what did you enjoy Tuesday night football more than you are missing Thursday night football? How did the scales balance for you?
I honestly didn't watch any of it. I was mainly watching the baseball game.
I didn't watch it either, but it's nice to know it's there.
I would rather have Thursday night football. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm not really crazy about Thursday night football either. So, I mean, it'd be great to have football every day of the week, but I recognize the limitations there. So,
I just want Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday football. I'm okay with Tuesday and Wednesday being no football.
Yeah. That would be awesome. But I don't think it's doable. I did want to touch on last week, the Dune movie that we were so excited about has been pushed back. I think I did mention that actually last week.
I mean, all movies have been pushed back. It's just
right. I finished Black Sails on Hulu, the pirate show that you refused to watch.
Yes,
I just have to say it was incredible. Like that show had no business being as good as it was, and the way it tied up all together was.
Oh, so it ended?
Yeah, it ended. I was wrong. It is over. But yeah, just a fantastic show. Like the ending was.
Did the dragon kill everybody?
No, there's no dragon. Yeah, no, it actually ended in a much, much, much more cohesive way than
now. What did that originally air on? I remember when it came out. Was it like an FX?
Stars.
Oh, Stars. So is it like bloody and nudity and gory? And
yeah,
cursy?
Lots of violence, lots of nudity, lots of like political, twists, right. and intrigue and stuff like that. There's also, interestingly enough, like for people who are, into pirate folklore and stuff like that, it's a lot of. A lot of the characters are based off of actual pirates. Like Blackbeard is there, and it's tied pretty closely to, what is known about him. And then it's kind of a lot of his disciples that were running amok in the Caribbean, based out of Nassau, out of the port of Nassau in the 1700s. So it's a lot of other less known pirates that you might have heard of: Calico Jack, Rackham,
Dread Pirate Roberts.
And Bonnie. Dread Pirate Roberts is not a real actual pirate that existed, Rob.
How did we both know his name?
It was, like I said, it was a very good show, very well written, very well acted. The action sequences were great. There's no CGI, so it's all actual, ships that are blowing up and like live sets. Yeah, it's really, really, if you have the time, it's all on Hulu, all four seasons. I burned through it in about couple months. It was pretty great. Pretty great. And then I started Raised by Wolves on HBO Max, which I fucking hate. But yeah, Raised by Wolves is awesome. Have you started that yet, Rob?
I haven't. It's on the list. I haven't heard enough about it to know whether I want to invest my time in it.
First episode was excellent. I really like the premise. I don't know how familiar you are.
I have an idea of what it's about.
Yeah, it's Ridley Scott, so it's it looks amazing. It has I don't think we've ever actually discussed Prometheus and what a terrible movie that was. But
never saw it.
Prometheus looked great, like it looked amazing, like the way it was shot. Like I really really liked the way it looked and felt. This show has similar visuals and kind of a feeling to it, but the acting and the writing is. At least in the first, much, much better. And it's the basic premise is the plot is it's two robots that are sent off of Earth to start a new colony. So the robot, the female robot, they're called Mother and Father. The female robot is able to gestate actual human babies and raise them. So she has they have six children to start with. And then throughout the first episode, you kind of see, it kind of jumps back and forth throughout time, not in the first episode, but I can kind of tell that's where they're going with the show. So, I mean, it does jump back and forth in the first episode, but not, you know, a lot, but I can tell in the show, it's probably going to jump a lot around. It's very interesting. Like, so the reason they had to leave Earth, or the reason they've left Earth, was the whoever had funded this mission, who we don't know yet, sent them off world because Earth had been overrun with religious zealots. So this, they are, you know, and robots, they weren't allowed to have humans raised by robots or humans grown by robots. So that's kind of what the impetus for this experiment was. So she's raising the mother robot is raising them to as strict atheists. So that's the kind of the premise.
Judging by the title, I don't know if we can trust mother.
Correct. Yeah, I think there might be some trust issues that do arise from this. But it's
so
it was excellent.
As far as my nonsense, speaking of HBO Max, I was never one that was going to pay for like the DC streaming service, but now that it's on HBO Max, I started Doom Patrol the other day. It's actually quite fun. I really enjoyed it. So
is that
far.
Live action?
Yeah. Live action. It's got a pretty good cast. It has, well, at least like Brendan Fraser plays the robot man, but that guy like Alan Tudyk, I don't know how to say his name, but he looks like our friend Jamie. he plays like the bad guy. Oh, and Pierce Brosnan is like the mad scientist that's helping all the. It's good. I enjoy it. It's like silly.
Is it in the universe of like Justice League and all that? Like,
yeah, it actually has like in the, I think only the second or third episode, like a young cyborg who's trying to make a name for himself in Detroit, so he can make it to the Justice League shows up.
But Justice League wouldn't have existed when he was young.
Whatever. Just go with it. It's
all right, man. Whatever. Okay, so it's one of those DC things where it's supposed to be tied to the movies, but the movies don't really.
It's not tied to the movies. It's in the universe. It's like it's not the same guy.
Okay, so it's not tied to their movie.
Yeah,
their film
it's not that cyborg. It's that same, but it's cyborg. It's him and his father and all that, but it's not tied to some magic cube or any of that other stuff.
Got it. So this happened to me this week, and I would like you to be aware of it because it was a huge pain in the ass for me. But my PlayStation Network account was hacked.
Oh.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it. And they had hacked in long enough to change the email that was associated with the account, so I wasn't even able to reset it. So I had to create a whole new PlayStation Network profile for myself.
You don't. Luckily, you don't have a credit card or a PayPal assigned to it.
I did, but Bank of America caught all of the transactions they were trying to make, so none of them actually went through. But they had racked up, like, you know, I think well over almost $1,000 worth of charges of things that they were trying to get through. So, you know, by the time I found out about it, I was,
how the hell do they even get? Like, I don't even know what my email and password are for that.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, I ended up losing, you know, some of my saved game data, which sucks. Obviously, I didn't lose any money, which is good. Did have to get a whole new debit card, which sucks.
Now, do you buy games? Do you buy the games online, or do you buy the physical discs?
I have both. It actually affected both of them for me because it was tied to my EA account. Ugh. So my EA account had to be reset because it was tied to the profile that I had to delete. So
they couldn't give it back to you. They had to delete it.
What's that?
They couldn't like unhack it and give it back to you.
So I was there's that's another thing that their support is not 24 hours, and it was like all chat bots and stuff like that.
So you just cancel this.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with it. So I just ended up, you know, I was like, it'll be easier for me to just create a new profile because I couldn't even because I can only watch HBO Max on the PlayStation because, God forbid, you can watch it on anything else.
Oh my God, are you going to complain about this every week? We all are.
Well, I'm just saying my PlayStation account was hacked, so I couldn't even watch it because I couldn't log into the network. So yeah, it was frustrating, man. I'm just warning you all, if you are, you know, heavy PlayStation users, be mindful of your PlayStation Network account.
I'm sure you need to be mindful of your Xbox accounts as well. So I haven't purchased a disc in forever. I just download my games. Would I lose all my game? I would lose all my games if I had to delete my account and start over.
For your EA stuff, for sure.
Well, no, I mean, like, I don't, when I buy the games off the PlayStation store on from my account.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying. My Madden was digital. My NBA 2K is digital. Like all of
so
like
you the, have to rebuy was, those.
I didn't have to rebuy the games. Like still have this. I still have the software, but your saved information that's associated with your profile. Like my season was lost.
Gotcha. Because that's all in the cloud. They don't do it locally.
Correct. Yeah. So even my I bought the actual physical disc for NHL 20 because it was on sale. So that's why, I had the actual physical disc for that. And even that saved like franchise data was lost.
Aww.
It's okay. I mean,
yeah, no, that sucks though.
World problems, but you know, it was I was surprised at how difficult it was to, I just wanted to watch Raised by Wolves. that's all I was trying to do. And I couldn't access it because.
Because you won't buy a $20 Chromecast and just plug it into your computer.
I will now. I mean, yeah. This was the last push I needed, I guess.
I mean, I can't get you to buy a headset mic so I can hear you clearly on the podcast.
I was shopping for one and I almost put it in my cart. So next week, you can expect the sound quality to be superb.
There you go.
But that's probably a good place to end now. I think we've been ranting along. Unless you have anything else you want to rant on about, Rob?
No, we're right at the marker, and I'm hungry because I have to do this at dinner time for you.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Hopefully the Dolphins get to 500. Hopefully the Rays pull off a win tonight. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.